Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
We've been speaking to people who just have this thing, this X factor, who are making an impact in South Africa very, very quietly. We've been speaking to a few over the past couple of weeks, and today we have none other than you may have seen the social media platform. You may not know who's behind it, but you know that Good Things guy? Yeah, that's him. Brent Lindeke is a journalist and the founder of Good Things Guy. Brent, thanks so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, and thank you so much for having me. X Factor, I don't know if I have it, but what a great introduction.
You certainly have it. Your content definitely has it. We do the work that you, for many years, were familiar with. We bring people the news, and oftentimes it's just terrible news. Often it's just sad, difficult, depressing news. The idea of putting together the Good Things Guy, where did it come from?
Yo, what a long idea. What a long story to an idea. So around 10 years ago, there was something happening in the world called NEC nominations. It was this idea that stemmed from Australia. And the idea was simple, but rather silly. You had to drink as much as you possibly could, alcohol, do something really silly in a video of yourself drinking, upload that to social media, and then nominate people to outdo what you'd done. There were millions of these videos being uploaded from all over the world, all over the globe. And I was watching this thing. It was the first real online trend that used social media as a catalyst to grow itself. I was watching it unfold from here in South Africa, and I had two real trains of thought. The first, why would anybody put something so silly online? Like, if you wouldn't put it on the front page of a newspaper, don't put it on your social media. Why would you put a video up like that? Mm. And the second was really, 10 years ago, social media was a teenager. It was still very young.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, why were people using social media for that? Like, why weren't they using this platform, even if they only had, I don't know, 10 family members that they were connected with? Why weren't they using that as a platform to help each other and be kinder and be nicer? So I was watching this thing unfold, and I got to work on a Friday, and a friend had completed a NEC nomination and nominated me. And I sat at my desk and I thought to myself, what do I do? Do I join this trend? I mean, I like to have a drink every now and then. Or do I try and do something to, I don't know, be kinder and help people? I fed a homeless person. I put that video up instead of my NEC nomination. Mm-hmm. And it went viral.
Wow.
I woke up the next day and there were hundreds and thousands of people around the world that were so inspired by this, what I would say, very average South African doing a kind deed. Mm. They decided to take their NEC nomination and also turn it into what was called a RAC nomination. And that's when the Random Acts of Kindness movement was born here in South Africa, which is just unbelievable. And that was really the seed to Good Things Guy, because all of a sudden I saw all of these good people doing good things. Mm. And I was like, why aren't these stories being told somewhere? And it took a year, but eventually I launched what has now become South Africa's top good news platform.
You live in South Africa, Brent. You live where we all live. Did you think there were enough good stories out there to keep this going?
No, no, not at all. Not at all. So 10 years ago, yes, I was surrounded by all this good news that was happening at the time. But when it eventually became this platform, my plan was to tell one good news story from South Africa to the world every single day.
Every day.
And if I have to tell, every day. That was my plan. Just one, every day.
Every day.
And if I have to tell you, 10 years ago, there were some days where I couldn't find good news.
Mm-hmm.
There were some days where I really had to dig deep, and then I had to be like, oh, well, no, well, today,
the sun came out.
There's this great story from America. Like, we're going to tell a great story from America.
Yes.
And the reality is, It's not because the good news wasn't there. It's because that the hard news sort of
wouldn't let
the good news shine through. So it was difficult to find it. But I'll tell you, there is good news here, because 10 years later, and we're sharing up to 15 good news stories every single day. It's myself and a whole team. And we wake up every morning, myself and my team, and our inboxes is overflowing with people that want to share stories from themselves, from their communities, from their neighbors, just of good news happening in our country. So there are good things happening, thankfully.
So the myth is good news does not sell. Is it true?
It's a lie. It's a total lie. It's a total lie. Maybe the reality is that we need the news that we hear in our headlines. I mean, you guys do the news every half hour on the hour. Those stories are so important, because without them, we wouldn't know what was happening around us. Mm. And by not knowing what is happening around us, we can never fix it. So we need that news in order to move forward. But yeah, good news does sell. I've turned it into a real business. Mm. I have journalists that I pay on a monthly basis that are writing for the platform. And I attended a conference I think it was the middle of this year, around about June, July, in Germany. It's called the Deutsche Welle Media Forum, which is DW Media Forum. And they specifically wanted to speak about, how the heck are you doing this? How are you making this work? And the answer is, I have no idea. I think it was needed in our country, and I think South Africans love it. So does good news sell? Yes, it does. And the only reason for that is because people keep reading it. So I'm very thankful for that.
So, you mean, you know, you speak about how organically this whole thing grew, and, you know, it just kind of had its own life. But I know you get stories every day. Is there one that actually stands out for you, even to this day?
Oh, so that's such a difficult question. Mm. That's like asking...
Which one is your baby? Yeah, to
which is your
favorite
child?
Yeah.
Which is your favorite child? It's very difficult. So last year, to put it into perspective, the team and I told 4,000 good news stories.
Sure.
In just one year from South Africa. But you asked me, if you had asked me last year what was my favorite story, I would have told you about a story from 2015 by a man whose name is Andy Loughton, who's got a feeding scheme down in Somerset West, where he feeds over 300 people a day. A magnificent story. He's created an incredible, I would call, an economy, because they've got charity shops and vegetable shops, and it's grown into like a real thing. Mm. But now today, if you ask me what is the story that has stayed with me, it's one from this year. And I think because I've realized that in the last decade, working in this space, it's put me at the forefront of human beings. And I've realized that we are all holding on by a thin thread. Mm. Every single one of us are dealing with massive demons that perhaps we don't talk about. Mm. There was a study done a while ago that said that as the average human being, we tell people we're fine 14 times a week. Mm. So when someone asks us how we're doing, we go, we're fine. Mm. But the reality is that only 1 in 4 of us mean it, which means that there's a lot of people that are not fine out there. So the story goes like this. There's a woman who lives in PE. Her name's Natasha. And 4 years ago, she called an Uber. The Uber picked her up. The Uber driver's name is Bart. He drove her a little bit, and while they pulled off, he said to her, "Ma'am, how are you?" And Natasha said, I'm fine. And Bart said to her, Ma'am, I can see something's not right. How are you?" And Natasha all of a sudden started crying, just absolutely broke down. It was a kind stranger that was showing affection and really meaning it when asking how are you, that it was like the straw that broke the camel's back. And it freaked Bart out completely. He stopped his car. He got out. He opened the door. He asked her permission. "Can I please give you a hug?" And she just embraced him. She says at that point, at that moment, it felt like the weight of the world had been lifted off her shoulders. This kind stranger just showing her kindness, really. Mm-hmm. And they got back in their car and they drove off. And she went on to live her life. And 4 years later, fast forward to 2024, she shared that story for the first time, because for the first time she had confidence to share that story. And she said that that day, that moment, that person, Bart, that question, had actually saved her life, because she was on her way to go commit suicide.
Yo.
And those questions, that question, had really made her rethink about where she was in this world. And it was a beautiful story, just to go, you know, now I'm strong enough to tell this story for anybody that it might help. But here's the cracker, where I love the story. Social media, I like to say, it's a... The thing, what are we, the 6 degrees of separation?
Mm.
Social media has made us 1 degree of separation.
Mm-hmm.
And Natasha put her story up online at some point this year, and it took less than 2 days for Bart to see it. And he put up a TikTok video. He's this big, burly man with this big smile and this big beard. And he put up this video absolutely sobbing. And he said every single day that he has passed the spot where he picked up Natasha, he has said a prayer that he had hoped that she is still okay.
Mm.
And I love that story for many reasons, but I think the kindness of strangers is so important, and the reality that we really are hanging on by a thin, thin thread, and by leading with kindness, we have the ability to literally save a life. Is so important, especially in these times.
You know, you've been doing this for a while now, and it may be an unfair question, I don't know, but when you assess where South Africans were when you started this and where we are right now, what's your assessment in terms of happiness? As you're saying, you know, we're hanging on by a thread. What are you seeing?
So, South Africans, there's ebbs and flows.
Mm.
On any given week, we go up and down. The sentiment of the country changes with the times. When things are good, we are more open to good news. It's an obsession. So I'm able to see the back end of the website.
Mm.
I'm able to physically see what people are reading.
Mm.
And when our headlines are okay in sort of our news headlines, we're more open to good news. When things are tough, when things are bad, we're not open to good news, and our readership really, really drops. And there's a trend that we've noticed throughout the year, again, ebbs and flows. But now, September, October, beginning of November is the toughest time in our country year on year. It's when our readership dips. It's when people are the unhappiest, the angriest.
Really?
The insert adjective here.
Really?
And I kind of think it's because the year's tough, right? We
yeah.
start off in January with all our hopes and dreams, and we work really, really hard throughout the year. And when we get to this final quarter, we're all incredibly tired.
Hmm.
Even perhaps if you don't have a employment, if you, whatever it is, you're tired. It's been a rough year. So we get to this point where we need to sort of fight through to get to the end. And year on year, it's the same thing. It takes a couple of good news stories to pull us out of that. So your question is, where was South Africa 10 years ago? Where were we now? I kind of feel, I'd like to say we're in a better place.
Mm.
I'd like to say we're happier. And I'd like to say, not that I was the reason for that, but really good news stories were. Because even in this last quarter, proof is when there is inspiration and good news stories shared, it pulls us out of those negative spaces. And I see it time and time again. There'll be a story
mm.
on social media that is not even my story. It can be a tweet that someone puts up that simply just gets captured on a bad day, and it turns us around. It goes viral. It's those good news moments that pull us out. So, yes, one of the things that has become very prevalent over the last decade is there are other publications that are sharing good news, which I'm so thankful for. There are other social media sites that are sharing good news, which I'm also so thankful for. And that has made us a bit of a happier nation. And I'll say this as well.
Mm.
It's not just me saying that. Mm. There's a data-driven project called the Happiness Index,
yes,
which is
yeah.
run by the University of Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And they found that in 2024, we're happier than we've ever been.
Really?
So even when you might feel it's quite tough, We might be feeling quite sad. It might just be because maybe it's that time of year. Maybe we're surrounded by headlines that are pulling us down. But rest assured, we are in a better place than we were a decade ago.
We are a very strange nation in that we are very quick to turn a really difficult situation into a joke. I mean, we do this all the time. South Africans are just great at taking the mickey out of our own misery, if that makes sense. Do you think that's sort of our coping mechanism, or we just have a funny bone? Are we just funny like that?
I think it's both. I think it's absolutely 100% both, and I also think it's a very South African trait.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's other nations that have that way to pull through really tragic situations and laugh about things. Mm. When we think about, so it was 2.5 years ago that the rioting and the looting was happening in our country. And if you remember that time, it was June, July, the unrest that happened. It was quite scary when we were seeing what was happening in Durban and Johannesburg. And it was scary, the scenes that we were seeing unfold. I think it was on day two that a video went viral from a mall down in KZN called the Tugela Ferry Mall, where the manager of the Shoprite told his team to take cooking oil and to pour the cooking oil all along the front of the shop. And all of a sudden, all these looters and rioters were sliding all over the place. And that video was shared all over WhatsApp and social media. And in a real time of tragedy in our country, We were laughing.
Yeah.
And I think it was a total coping mechanism, but it was also that funny bone that we have. And here's the crazy thing, is that story and that video, that even though we laughed through that, the manager of that Shoprite, the Shoprite was the only store that didn't get broken into.
Wow.
And that manager got a promotion and a raise.
Wow.
So even though we're laughing through the tragedy, there's some good stories that come from those times as well.
Do you think we're kind? Can you describe South Africans as a kind nation?
Yes, we are inherently kind. And I know that sometimes we might get lost in the noise, especially on social media. I mean, I've written about it extensively, that Twitter can be an incredibly toxic place. But it's not because it is a social media platform that is toxic. It's because of one or two voices that sometimes shout the loudest.
And bots.
They are,
and bots too.
Oh, bots. All the bots. So many bots. I fought with a bot today. I fought with a real bot today. It's a crazy story, but that's for a different time. Yeah, we are inherently kind, and we are a beautiful nation. And when given, when put in the situation or when needed, we really pull through and rally together to do the right thing and to do the kind thing. I like to say that we as a nation, our hearts beat as one when called upon. And that's something, I don't know why. I don't know where it comes from. It could be that Ubuntu thing that is inside of us. I don't know. I can't put it down to one thing. But I know the stories that we tell and we get to tell, which I'm so thankful to do, is about the kindness of South Africans, and we're kinder than any nation by far.
So are you, Brent. So are you. And thank you for bringing us the good news. I mean, it really makes all the difference in one's day. Thank you, thank you. And we love your work.
Thank you. That's incredibly kind. I love what I get to do. I'm very privileged and honored. And like I say, like, I get on stages around South Africa and the world to speak about these good news stories from our country. And the essence of it is this. Something happened to me 10 years ago. It completely changed my life.
Mm.
But that's where my story started and ended.
Mm.
I'm no longer part of that narrative.
Mm.
What I get to do now is tell those stories of, I don't want to say everyday South Africans, because they are exceptional South Africans doing incredible things every day. And so if you keep doing those things, we'll keep reporting on them. And I think I'll never, ever, ever be lost for work, because there's just so many good things happening on it every day.
Brent, share all the socials. Where do people find the good news?
It's so simple. Good Things Guy. You can find us on every single platform. You think of it, we are there. Even the TikToks and the Snapchats and LinkedIn's and Facebook's, we everywhere. So if you want to find the good news and you want to get a boost in your day, then look for Good Things Guy. But I also want to say this. I'm not Chatterpunt myself. There's good news all around us. And if you start searching for it within your own circles, within your own communities, within your own stories with your neighbors and your family, you will find those good news stories because they are there.
Journalist and founder of Good Things Guy, Brent Lindeke, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Happy Monday.
Have a good one. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.